Revelation is really a wonderful book. It's the end. You know, the end is always the best. Right. And we are near the end. At least the end of this age and the beginning of a new age, the millennial kingdom. Right. Like we shared in the very beginning, the Lord has given this mankind 6,000 years to rule. And they made a big mess out of it. Right? Look at Canada. Look at the USA. Look at the situation of the whole world. So much corruption and evil. And remember what John says, the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. Believe it or not. Right. Satan has caused this world to be so corrupted. Right. Of course, it depends on what kind of people we are. If we are God's people, we can see the whole corruption. But if you're part of the world, then you think it's not too bad. Right. Just like in Canada, I think some part of the people, some people thought it's pretty good. Many people. But there's another part of the people, they saw through the whole thing. It is really rotten, corrupted. Right. So, praise the Lord. We are coming to an end. The end is coming. Believe it or not, it is coming. Okay. If we have eyes to see, then we'll see. I think in these days, in the book of Revelation, many of us understand now what's going to happen. Right? John, are you convinced?
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. So, anyway, before we go on, let's have a time for the saints to ask some questions, if you have, before we go on. Feel free. We are flexible. All clear? Oh, it's wonderful.
Chapter 11, why was there a need to mission?
Oh, okay, that's a very good question. Oh, the question was, in chapter 11, why is it that the Lord asked John to measure the temple? Right? And he told John, measure only the sanctuary. The holy place and the holy of holies, that sanctuary. And those who worship there. And don't measure the outer court. Because the whole outer court is given to the Gentiles to be trodden down. Right? So it gives us a sign that a building, the recovering of the so-called third temple, is not going to be a great big temple. This is why many people thought, well, that mosque has to be destroyed. Right? But no, because that temple is not for God. It's not for God. It's very, very clear. For the sake of maybe some of the saints here, let us go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 concerning this beast, the lawless one, the son of perdition. Right. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Right. And everything is really falling away, corrupted, even hopeless, hopeless. Yeah. And the man of sin is revealed. Well, we know today who this man of sin is. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. So he won't tolerate any religion when he comes, because he proclaims himself to be God, so he cannot tolerate anything. Right. It's written here, right? He will oppose anything, right, that exalts himself, and he called himself God. He exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, the beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition, sits as God in the temple of God, right, showing himself that he is God. And this temple of God is the temple built in Jerusalem. Right. This is why we know that a third temple, the so-called third temple, is going to be built. But how? Right? The whole big temple, like at the time of Solomon, or at the time of Herod? Herod even enlarged it. But no, this one is not going to be that big. No. This is why chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, shows us that God told John, no, that temple is not going to be built completely like it was before. First of all, it is not for God. Because we know that when the Lord Jesus returns, Ezekiel tells us what kind of a temple he's going to build. So it's not what the Jews are going to build, the so-called third temple. So don't worry. It's very quick to build that temple. And everything is ready. Right? You sent me that video concerning what the Temple Institute said. They already prepared everything. Every aspect, even of the priesthood. Yeah. The golden lampstand they have prepared. Right. Every furniture for the sanctuary. Right. And that is why the word temple, if I'm not wrong here, right, is not called temple as the big temple, but it's a sanctuary. Right. So it says here, so that he will sit as God in the temple of God. So that word is the sanctuary of God. It's not going to be a very big temple. Yeah. And besides, when the Lord comes back, Zechariah tells us his feet will be standing on Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will divide, will open up, and a big valley will be there for the people, the Jews, the remaining Jews in Israel at that time, to escape. To escape. So if that happens, no building will stand there. Everything will fall down. It's just like a big earthquake. Can you imagine? It's just like the people of Israel crossing the Red Sea. Right. Can you imagine the Red Sea is just open for a few meters? No, it's really a giant way in the Red Sea, because how many people are going to pass through there? Who escaped and coming out of Egypt? About 2 million. So, can you imagine? The Red Sea must have opened up very wide. Otherwise, even the army of the Pharaoh cannot go through. So, can you imagine that time, just shortly before the Battle of the Armageddon, the Mount of Olives, including the Temple Mount there, will just open up like a very big valley for Jews to escape, because in those days, the whole city of Jerusalem will be under siege. And there's no way for them to escape. So when the Lord came back and his feet stood on a Mount of Olives, that place opened up like a very big valley for the rest of the people in Jerusalem, the Jews, to escape. So if that happened, George, what is going to stand there? Every building will fall apart, will collapse. There won't be anything standing there. Anyway, that is why the temple is mentioned. Only two verses. What does it mean to measure? To measure means it is according to what God wants. You don't have to measure the outer court. The outer court, don't worry about the outer court. Forget about it. It is just that sanctuary and just good enough for that terrible guy here to enter in and to proclaim himself as God. And that will be fulfilled in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 at the very end. And in the temple, there will be the abomination of desolation. That will bring in the desolation. Everything will be destroyed. Right? So that's why it's mentioned there. Because everybody is thinking, wow, they're going to build a very big temple and rebuild the temple. How long did the people say the temple was built?
40 years.
40 years. We don't have 40 years to build that temple, do we? Not even 4 years. Not even 1 year, no. Because today, with the technology in a prefab building, if you have a prefab house, you order it, right? Prefab house. How long will it take for a prefab house to stand?
A few days.
Yeah, a few days, right? Especially if everything is there, right there in Jerusalem. Everything was ready. Even the burnt offering altar was already there. It takes a couple of hours just to be transported with all the crane and everything. Put it in a truck and bring it there. Right. So it's going to be built. Right. If it is measurable for John so quickly, that means it's not very big, right? If you ask me to measure this hole here, how long will it take? 2 months? No. A couple of hours.
Max.
Max. Right? Maybe half an hour. So, yeah. That shows what kind of a temple is going to be rebuilt. Okay? Yeah. Let's go back to Daniel chapter. I'm sorry, let me get it out here. Well, thank you, Sharon. Okay, let's just go there, even if it's not so. Okay, at the very end, let's go back to our translation of Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, our updated translation. As to the 1 week, right, because that's the last week. Remember, this last week cannot happen after the Lord was crucified, because the Lord already prophesied that Jerusalem and Israel will disappear. Titus will come and just destroy Israel for almost 1900 years. Because Titus came in year 70 and destroyed everything. And Mo read Luke chapter 21. Not only the temple, but the whole city, and not only the city, the whole nation was destroyed. Right. So, the last week, when is it going to happen? First of all, Israel has to be restored. And that happened in 1948. Right. Of course, the last week will not come in right away, because there has to be certain things. And the most important sign that the last week is happening is that covenant with many. Which covenant will that be? Well, which covenant will it be? You believe that's the one? Nobody else can make another covenant with many?
There hasn't been one like that.
Nobody would do it. In fact, nobody has any interest for peace there in the Middle East. They want war. Right. And all the Arabs there, their goal is not to have peace with Israel. What is their goal now?
To destroy
Israel. They're not for peace. That's why there can never be a peace between Hamas or the Palestinians and Israel. So what happened? Who can make a peace covenant? It's already even made. Who made it? I don't need to mention who made it. 45. Who was 45 and now he's the 47th? So 45 and 47. Oh, yeah, 45/47. Thank you, George. Right. Giving us another riddle. You're speaking in tongues. Nobody else could have done it. And why is it very important? It's not the covenant itself that is important, but it is a sign that is important. And that sign showed us the last week either has started or is coming. That is the unique sign. So that sign shows us the last week is just around the corner, if not already started. And why do you think the 45th becomes the 47th? To do what? Not to MAGA. But to finish his job, what God has appointed him to do. Right. So, in this updated translation, you can see in the half part of the week, what is the sign? In the second half of the last week, the sign is what? The offering and sacrifices will be stopped. That means before it happened, it should firstly be started. And who's going to help them to start? We know the 47th. And then the temple will be built. Otherwise, the beast cannot enter into the temple to proclaim himself to be God. So let's see, let's wait and see if the 47th will help Israel to do that. I hope that, Stefan, you will send that video to all the brothers. They are ready to do it. Everything pertaining to that temple is now ready. Why didn't they do it? Because if they do it, there's going to be war, okay. But with the 47th, there will be no war there. Nobody would dare to start a war. Yeah. So, it says here, in the half part of the week, the second half, the sacrifice and oblation will be terminated. Somebody's going to terminate it. And you know who? The man of sin, the son of perdition, will cause it to stop. That's one thing, the first sign in the second half. And the second sign, it says, and in the temple there shall be an abomination of desolation. This is amazing. Right. I think many of us know what Daniel has written about abomination of desolation has been fulfilled at the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, the terrible king of the north. And the second fulfillment is with Titus coming to Jerusalem, entering into the temple. And what happened when that was fulfilled? The whole nation was destroyed. It's desolation. Israel was wiped out of the map. Desolation. Abomination of desolation. Now, the third time it is going to be fulfilled, when the son of perdition, that beast, will enter into the temple, proclaiming himself to be God. That will bring in desolation. A total destruction. Yeah. Right. So I think one of the questions was concerning especially the two beasts that came out of chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. Who are these two beasts? Not just one. You know, everybody talks only about the one, right? So-called Antichrist. And some people even today already said, oh, we know who he is, he's there. And some even said Jared Kushner is the Antichrist, right? Have you read about it? Yeah. And some even says the Pope is the beast. But the Bible says, where is the beast going to come out from? From Vatican? From the USA? From the abyss. And he's not out yet. So how can anybody that is on this earth today be the beast? No. Right. So it has to be when that terrible dragon, that star, was cast down from heaven, fallen from heaven, having the key to the abyss. That happened in chapter 12, and that is the reality is found in chapter 9, in the fifth trumpet. So, he's not here yet. So if somebody says, look, he's the Antichrist. Oh, no, no, this one is the Antichrist. Right. No. No. He will only appear out of the abyss. Right. Revelation chapter 17 says, he was, so that means he already existed, But he is not. That means today he's not around. So don't look for him, okay? And don't believe anybody when they say, oh, he's the Antichrist. He's the beast. No, no, don't worry about that. Oh, somebody even says it's King Charles, Pool Charles.
Because his family crest matches chapter 13, verse 1.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Verse 2, the leopard, the feet were like the, was like the feet of the bear and the night, and you can find those on his crest.
Oh, really? Did they go to London to look at him? Tell Prince Charles, King Charles, please take off your shoes. Let me see how your feet look like. A lot of people have some imaginations. No, no. He was, but then he's not. If somebody was and is not, that means what? He's not alive anymore. My father was. But he's not. So, if the beast was, that means he was in the past. And it even was one of the five kings in the Roman Empire in the past. Definitely is not King Charles. No, no, he's not. Right. So, and it's not Trudeau either. So, no, he was and he's not. Even at the time of John, when John was writing Revelation, John already said he was. He wasn't even there when John was writing Revelation, right? Because the sixth king was Domitian at that time. When John was writing the book of Revelation. But then the seventh king will come. When? We don't know. But we know that he's somewhere. We know where the seventh king may be found. But he's not the beast. Right? He's the eighth. But there are only seven. Of the seven. Well, there are only seven kings. But how come there's the eighth? But then the eighth is of the seven. Of which one? So the Lord, in his wisdom, didn't tell us, because then if it is so clear, I don't think anybody wants to be the king. Then if somebody tell you, John Yao, would you like to be the seventh king? Don't you want to be a king?
Not that kind of king.
So, praise the Lord. All right. All right. Anyway, here it is very clear that a temple is not built for God. It is for the beast. That abomination of desolation. So we are expecting that to happen after the inauguration. Because the Jews are so eager to do that. They're very eager to do that. Do you remember Netanyahu in 1978? What is the name of that rabbi in New York? He was a very famous rabbi at that time. Probably, yeah. I forgot the name, right? He was a very famous rabbi at his time, the most famous one. And he told Netanyahu, Netanyahu was appointed as ambassador in New York, in the United Nations. And he went and told Netanyahu, the Lord has appointed you to be the prime minister. And the main thing is for you to rebuild the temple of the Lord. Wow. I don't know if that rabbi was inspired by the Lord to prophesy concerning Netanyahu or not. Do you have it there?
He said what he told him was, after Bibi will come the Messiah.
Wow, even that, yeah? Right? Yes, that's right, he said that. And then he particularly tell him not to forget to rebuild, to build a house for God, the house of God, the temple of God.
Benjamin Netanyahu will be Israel's prime minister.
Right.
This is before he became prime minister.
Yeah.
He already predicted that
exactly.
He would be the prime minister.
And that he's going to have a lot of trouble with his own people
and
there.
He says he will pass the scepter to the Messiah.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. But then there should be that phrase which is important, that you should remember to rebuild, to build the house of God. This is important. And Netanyahu said, and testify, even said himself, I will not forget. I will do it. That was in 1978. It is really amazing. It is really amazing. Did I send you that, John? I didn't send it to you? Concerning that rabbi? Oh, I thought I did.
I didn't get that one. Did you send it to me?
But anyway, it is not important right now. But I can send it to you. I have it at home. Yeah? So, you should realize we are not just talking about doctrines. I'm letting you know this because of so many evidences. Right. So many. And of course today, you should all listen to what the Temple Institute say, right? Send it to all the brothers. Yeah. And if you hear what they say, they're very eager to build the temple, the third temple so-called. Yeah, they're very eager to do it. Time is up. Time is up. And in that video, they even mention the red heifer, right? The red heifer. Praise the Lord. Okay. Right. But now, another point that is very important is in the beginning of the book of Revelation, you have how many golden lampstands? Seven golden lampstands. What about the end of the book of Revelation? What do you have? You have a new heavenly holy city, Jerusalem. What kind of a city is it? It's a city of gold, a golden city. It's one huge, marvelous city, the holy city. The city is made of pure gold. It has the glory of God. Similar to the glory of God in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, is a jasper stone. And it's clear as crystal. Wow, you can see this is what God wants to have. Today, it should be the golden lampstands. Don't just say we are a church. It's not good enough. What kind of a church is it? It should be a golden lampstand. If it is not golden today, it has no part of that golden city at the very end. Don't think the Lord just wanted to have any kind of a church. No. And between the golden shining lampstands and the golden universal wonderful city, at the very end of the Bible, in between you have what? Babylon. A fake. It's a fake. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 17, because I think some of the brothers says, well, maybe we should share about Revelation 17, Babylon. Okay. Well, okay, since it's written in the book of Revelation, maybe we should talk about it a little bit. Let's go to Revelation, right, chapter 17 and 18. But firstly, chapter 17, because God showed John. Revelation chapter 17. I think it is also good for us to see. Why? Why do we need to see that, Timo?
So we will not be deceived.
Yeah. So that we will not be deceived. Who's going to deceive you? That great red dragon, he is a deceiver of the whole world. Look at today's media. They're deceivers. The whole world is deceived by the major mainstream media because the whole world watches CNN. All the media today are lying to the whole world, deceiving the whole world. Right? A deceiver. Don't believe everything you see. And don't believe everything you hear. You need a spirit of discernment, and most of all, you need wisdom from above, like what James says. You need to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation from God. Don't just believe anything. Right? You believe the Pope, but all the Catholics believe the Pope. You think the Pope is right? You think he's holy? The Holy Father. They call him the Holy Father. I told you the story one time I was in Vatican, right? It was probably sometime in 1968. Guang, is it 68 or 69? Right? A little group of saints from America to visit Rome because they want to do it. I was the blind leading the blind. Right. And so we went to Vatican, and in that particular day, the Pope was supposed to give a sermon. So in a group, want to hear what the Pope is going to talk about. Right. And surprisingly, he talked about the church being the bride of Christ. Can you imagine that? Well, so when we went into that St. Peter Cathedral, we didn't know when he was going to speak. So the brothers asked me to find out. So I saw an English lady, an older lady, walking there, and I thought she knew. And I asked her, "Ma'am, do you know when the Pope is going to speak?" Oh, she was really angry. "What do you mean the Pope? It's the Holy Father." And I looked back at her, I said, "No, I mean the Pope." She was quiet, she didn't say anything anymore. Neither do I ask him anymore, ask her anymore. Yeah. Oh, she was offended. I was even more offended when she called the Pope the Holy Father. No, I'm not going to take that. Right. But anyway, they're all deceived. They're all deceived. How can you call that man the Holy Father? Right. So, at any rate, that is Babylon. that is Babylon. So, in chapter 7, although we don't like to talk about it, but God showed John another vision here. One of the seven angels, who are the seven bowls, that means it's at the end, right, came and talked with me saying, come.
It's chapter 17.
Chapter 17, okay. I will show you the judgment of a great harlot, who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Harlot. In the Old Testament, the prophets, when God spoke through the prophets, God was angry with his people, Israel. Why? Because they began to worship idols. Actually, Israel is supposed to be the bride. Right? Hear, Israel, your maker is your husband. Right? But then the bride went away, ran away from the husband and worshiped other gods and worshiped the gods in an even worse way than the Gentile nations. So, especially right in Hosea, God called his people a harlot. His bride became a harlot. Right? Having relationship with so many different gods among the nations, and worshiping idols. So imagine how angry God will be to the extent he called Israel a harlot. Now here in Revelation chapter 17, I'm just mentioning it to you, right? Why the Lord called this woman a harlot. Right? What did Paul said about the church? The church is the bride of Christ. Right? Revelation? Ephesians chapter 5. Right. Christ is a bridegroom. The church is a bride. He even compared the church's relationship to Christ like the marriage of Adam and Eve. Right? It's a wonderful relationship. But what happened? The churches in chapters 1 to 3 did not repent. Supposed to be the golden shining lampstands. But they did not repent. Even the church that was good, like Philadelphia, did not hold fast to what they had. And so you should ask, what happened? Where did Babylon in Revelation chapter 17, that harlot, where did it come from? From unbelievers? Yeah? No, certainly not. They change. But you have to be clear about this vision, okay? You have to be clear. I'm saying this not pointing fingers, okay? Don't try to tell Christians, oh, you're a harlot. please don't do that, okay? Don't go to, you know, places and tell them, oh, you're a harlot. Don't say that, okay? That's not the reason why we see this vision. But you have to understand. You have to have discernment. And so verse 3, he carried me away in the spirit. Again, you should see this vision in spirit. All the main vision written in the book of Revelation In chapters 1 to 3, I was in spirit in the Lord's day. And then seeing the throne in chapter 4, immediately I was in spirit. Right? Immediately, right? Lynn says, immediately. Good. And then this vision is another vision that says John was in spirit. So you need to see everything in the spirit. It's not doctrine. The doctrine, okay, I believe. Okay, I believe your interpretation. It's not a matter of interpretation. It's a matter of seeing the vision. And if you want to see, you have to be in spirit. Right? So, he carried me away in spirit into the wilderness. Uh-huh. Who goes to the wilderness? You remember somebody else went into the wilderness? Okay. Where do you want to be? In the wilderness? And I saw a woman, sitting on a scarlet beast which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So this woman is related to that beast, the political beast. Yeah. And she was sitting on top of that beast, full of names of blasphemies, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman, it's very interesting in verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. Just like the heavenly Jerusalem. Well, you children there, right, in the children's meeting, you just built something there. You try to build something with gold and silver and precious stones, right? Pearls and precious stones. You know, it looked outwardly very similar to the New Jerusalem. But it's a fake. All those, they call themselves churches. So which one is the right one? In the Roman Catholicism is a mother and had many daughters. So which one is the right one? Right. Having in her hand a golden cup. It looks good. Outwardly it looks good. But inside, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Right. A bride has only relationship with the husband. But a whore, a harlot, have relationship with anybody for gain. Right. So here you can see, outwardly it's a golden cup, very deceiving. If you see somebody holding a golden cup, something inside must be very precious, right? Hmm? Won't you think? But here, in the golden cup, it's full of abominations, full of idols, and filthiness of her fornication. All the filth was in it. You don't know how filthy that thing was in Rome. Yeah. The Vatican. One day I read in the paper, one of the monsignor, one of the priests who head up the, what do you call that, exorcism in Vatican. You know what he said openly in the news? The devil lives there. the priest himself, the one who heads up the department of exorcism. He said, Satan lives there. And what do you see behind the Vatican, where the Pope spoke to the audience? It's called the audience hall. That audience hall was what? Designed like a serpent's head. Would you build a house that looks like a serpent head? Would you? Marina, are you going to move into a house that looks like a serpent? Not only the outside looks like a serpent, the inside looks like a serpent. I think many of you saw it, right? Did you see it? It's shocking. Why would a so-called Christian church build an audience hall that look like a serpent? Would you do that? You have a new place right there in Feigen, right? Would you rent a place that looks like a serpent? And hold a conference there? Well, that is Babylon the Great. And they deceive so many people, the whole of Europe, South America, worldwide. The Philippines is Roman Catholic, almost 90%. How about that? Right. So, and on her forehead a name written, Mystery. Babylon the Great. Remember on the foreheads. What's written in our foreheads, in chapter 14? The name of our Lord Jesus Christ, his new name, and even the name of God our Father is written in our forehead. But here you can see, actually, it should be so clear, but if you're blinded and deceived, you cannot see anything. Although it is written here and even capitalized in every letter, right? John wants to make sure you don't miss it. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Oh, the mother. What does it mean, he's a mother? He has many daughters. Yeah. The mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Abominations of the earth. Yeah. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And John said, and when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Why would he marvel? Tell me, Mo.
Because of the outward appearance. Very deceiving. Very, looks good.
Yeah. Looks good, then he would marvel. He couldn't believe that the golden lampstands in chapters 1 to 3 will develop into such a terrible harlot. What? What becomes of the churches? Just like Israel, the bride of God, God being their creator, their husband, and they left him and became a harlot. Wouldn't you marvel at that? If you see the government today in the USA, wouldn't you be surprised? Huh? Have you ever thought Canada will be like that? It was a wonderful place to live. Even Vancouver was, so, for many years, the best city to live, right, George? But what about now?
It's still pretty good.
It depends on your vision. Depends on your vision. So John, the apostle, surprised. If you saw the golden lampstands with a great high priest walking in the midst, and then you jump to chapter 17 and see what happened. You see, not the golden lampstands, but you see the mother with many daughters, and they were all harlots. When you see that, John, how is your reaction? Oh, wonderful. Would you be like that? Would you be like that? Right. And then that woman was drunken with the blood of the saints. That harlot had killed more Christians than the Roman emperors in the first 3 centuries or 5 centuries. For 1,000 years, Roman Catholicism has killed so many Christians. But they didn't confess that. They didn't admit it until that Polish Pope. He was the one who admitted, yes, the Roman Catholic Church has murdered, killed so many Christians in that 1,000 years. In the Dark Ages. That's why it's called the Dark Ages in Europe. Right. But Revelation chapter 17 already showed us the vision even before it happened. Right. And by the way, purple and scarlet is Roman Catholic color. Purple and scarlet. The cardinals have a scarlet. The Pope has the purple color. Anyway, right. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel?" Right. And then I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. Right. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and then go into perdition. The beast was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit. Amazing. Right. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in a book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is, and that means and will come. Then, in verse 9, the angel told John, "Here is the mind which has wisdom." We need the spiritual heavenly wisdom. Yeah. So, the 7 heads are the 7 mountains on which the woman sits. This is Rome. Rome is called the city of 7 hills. Yeah, amazing. And the beast that you saw was and is not end will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. So you have the woman, and then you have the beast here. So we know where the mother is residing, right? And also the beast. The beast also came from the same place. Yeah. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they see the beast that was and is not and yet is, how many times did it repeat that? Was, is not, and will come. Right. Yeah. And then it says, verse 10, concerning the beast, there are...
Chicken. Marami.
Sorry. What's happening? Okay. So here, there are seven kings. Five have fallen. The seven heads are the seven kings, right? Five have fallen. One is, and the other, the seventh king, has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time, not a long time. Okay, so the seventh king is going to just remain a short time. The beast that was, in verse 11, the beast that was and is not, is himself also the eight, but is of the seven. He's the eight, but is of the seven. It's a riddle, right? It's amazing. Right? He was not, he died, right? And not existing today, so today he is not. Then he is going to come again, and when he comes, he will remain a short time, the seventh king, and the beast that was and is not, then he becomes the eight, but is of the seven. And then he will go into perdition, desolation. And he's called, of course, the son of perdition. Then you have the ten horns, which you saw, the ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet. That means at the time of John. But they receive authority only for 1 hour, a very short period of time, as kings with the beast. And these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. And they will make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb will overcome them, because the Lamb, he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him, praise the Lord, we know who are with him in chapter 19, are those who are called, chosen, and faithful. These three words we have to remember. What does the Lord say? Many are called, and they are all chosen. No. Again? Come on, there are so many, only few? Many are called. Salvation is very easy. You just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive Him, and be baptized, and you're saved. But after you're saved, are you chosen? If you are to choose, are you just going to put blindfold your eyes and choose mini, weeny, mini, miny, mo? Oh, okay, chosen. Is that a way you choose? But as kids, you play that, right? That's the way you choose when you're a child, isn't it? Did you ever play that, Rebecca? How do you choose? Close your eyes, right? Close your eyes and you choose. That is not choose. That is playing a game. No, the Lord is not going to go winny, meeny, miny, mo. Oh, it's mo. No. The Lord knew very well whom he wanted to choose. And then if you're chosen, there is another qualification that is needed. You must be faithful to continue. Because those few who are chosen, not everyone remains faithful. Right? So, pay attention to these three words: called, chosen, and faithful. So may the Lord open our eyes. So in chapter 17, this Babylon is a religious Babylon. Right. Religious Babylon. Fallen Christianity. If we don't repent today, and the Lord showed us what he wants and what he hates, and what shouldn't be in the church, it should be golden shining lampstands. And if we refuse to change, and we still want to do whatever we want to do, then you will end up in chapter 17. Maybe not with a mother, but there are many daughters you can choose. Which one you want to join. And then you go close your eyes and go weeny, meeny, miny, mo. You choose the one you like. Praise the Lord. So we need to know this. And it's a warning actually to all of us. If we are not the golden shining lampstands today, that doesn't mean that we are perfect, but the Lord will point out to us what he doesn't want. But if you don't change, you continue to do what you are doing, there's no repentance. You're not strengthened to overcome. You give a lot of reason, oh, that's the way I am, oh, I'm weak. Didn't Paul pray to be strengthened, for us to be strengthened by his spirit in the inner man? That Christ may make his home in our heart? So that together we'll be strong to apprehend all the dimension of Christ? So if we're not willing, we give a lot of excuse. Right? Remember, only the Lord's name is I am as I am. But he always says, well, I am what I am. That's what I am. Wrong name. That's not your name. Only the Lord's name is I am. Don't give an excuse, well, sorry, that's what I am. Yes, maybe, at the moment, but change. Why remain the way you are? Right? So your name is not I am. You should change. You should say, I will be. Be what? I'm going to be an overcomer. Right, Shirley? Are you what you are? You should say, no, I'm going to change. I want to be that glorious bride in Revelation chapter 19. Right. So if we don't change, you're going to become something like chapter 17. And that's not good. But what can you do? Right. You'll give so many excuses. No. But in worldly things, in the world, you change a lot, right? Right? We all change. But how come in spiritual things, we don't change? so sad. We have to tell the Lord, Lord, change me. Transform me. There is such a wonderful reality in the scriptures called transformation. Would you like to remain just a little warm there and not to be transformed into a beautiful butterfly? What do you prefer? There is the mystery, and a wonderful mystery of transformation. Change. Right. We want to be changed into the same image from glory to glory. And then in chapter 18, since we are at it, there is another aspect of Babylon in chapter 18. That is why many of the Christians say, oh, that's the material Babylon. Well, they're not wrong. Not very far from the truth, no. Right, in chapter 18, then he saw another angel coming down and cried with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison of every foul birds and spirits, and a cage of every unclean and hated bird. Right. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her. And the merchants, now the merchants is mentioned, of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Becoming rich. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. If you don't come out, you will share in her sins, and you will receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities, to render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double. So this judgment is going to be double. Worse than the judgment of the world. Yep. Up. I have low battery now. Right. So, get out of her. Praise the Lord. Right. Come out of her, my people. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously. And now in this section, it's talk about a luxurious living. Living in luxury. Right. People are not happy just to live. They want to live. What? Huh? Five stars. No, it's seven stars. Six stars. But it's fallen stars, okay? Right. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see her smoke coming up, burning. The Lord is going to burn Babylon. Right. And they all will lament and say, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, in 1 hour your judgment has come. That means the judgment is going to be very quick. Now, it says, and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Now, this is the material Babylon. The key word here, this luxury in merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marbles, and cars. Oh, no, the word cars is not written there. And cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, of course, chariots means cars. Nobody drives in chariots today, right? Porsche company makes chariots? No, they don't. But also bodies and souls of men. Amazing human trafficking today. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you. And you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Right, saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches will come to nothing. So the shipmaster, all who travel by ship, they are all merchants traveling for businesses, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance. So these are all traders. And cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? Yeah. Right. In verse 19, right. Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had shipped on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. But who is rejoicing? Let's read 20 together. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you, holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. Right. So everything will come to an end. The harpist, musician, flutist, trumpeters, craftsmen, all of this will be gone. Yeah. We don't need to read everything there. Right. But that will be the last judgment. Why is it left there at the end, mentioned at the end? Because this judgment is very special for God. God is going to give her a double portion. Because the whole world is influenced by them. The whole world. If it collapses, then everything collapses and finish. So are you going to invest in that, in this Babylonian city, the two aspects? Yeah? Praise the Lord. It's wonderful that the Lord is saving us now. It doesn't mean that, you know, where are we going to be, right? How are we going to live doesn't mean that we have nothing, but we should not be captured by these things. Don't be mesmerized by these things, by Babylon, both the religious Babylon and the material, political Babylon. They hypnotize you. They will deceive you. You think it's going to last forever. No, in 1 hour. What does it mean in 1 hour? That means all of a sudden, right? Very quickly, everything will be gone. This is a big warning for all of us. All right. So today we have to be set free. Don't be bound by these things. Don't appreciate them. It's good, okay to have it. Right? Well, don't just eat insects. Just like what WEF says. You'll be happy if you just eat insects. WEF, the Charles Schwab says, you'll be very happy if you have nothing. Oh, wow. How come he has so many things? He has everything. If I was sitting there and hearing them, that, would you please give me everything you have so that you'll be happy? Don't you want to be happy, Mr. Schwab? If you want to be happy, Mr. Schwab, give me everything you have. You'll be very happy. I wonder what he will say if I'm sitting there and tell him that. How come nobody asked him and told him that? Why are you so rich? You must be a very sad guy. Are you weeping every night? So if you're teaching everybody to be happy by having nothing, please give us an example. Give me everything you have. I'll be very happy to bear your burden and to make you happy. Huh? Nonsense what these people are talking about. You think they believe what they say? They want us to eat insects. How come they are not doing that? They are eating caviar. They're eating all the rich food. Why didn't somebody stand up and say, which insect are you eating there? Locusts? Cockroaches? Caterpillars? Flies? Lice? Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Well, they want to have everything for themselves, and you get nothing. Amazing. So is the world. But it's going to come to an end. We should be so happy and praise the Lord for Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Right. Then you go to 19, you have the bride. If we are the golden lampstands today, then we will be this wonderful bride at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be his bride, he will be the bridegroom. Amen. And then in eternity, we will be the wife of the Lamb, the wonderful holy city. Right? We're all going to be there, right? Praise the Lord. Yep. I think we better stop here. Right, we better stop here. But it's a wonderful ending, isn't it? Just like all the other books, if you read to the end, the good guys always won. It is really wonderful. Right. And soon it's going to happen. And there's the millennial kingdom. We will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And twice in chapter 1 and in chapter 5, the Lord says he's going to make us kings and priests unto God. In chapter 5, added, and we shall reign on the earth. Okay? Do you have this hope, Sarah? Emmanuel? Yeah. Great. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful. Right. So may the Lord grant us much grace. Trust in him. Believe in the word in the book of Revelation. Whatever is written there, John already saw it 2,000 years ago. 1,900 years ago he wrote that. And today we are seeing the fulfillment. And soon the King of Kings will come. And all this will be fulfilled. And the world will be judged. I assure you, it's going to be as it is written here. Babylon the Great, both religious and material, is just like a twin. Will all be destroyed, go up in smoke. Then we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Don't you like that, Simon? This is our hope of glory. This is God's promise. So let's be those who are chosen. Right? Called, chosen, and faithful. Amen? Praise the Lord. Good. Glory, glory, hallelujah.